A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Big day to be downtown in Houston with us. We are on St. Emmanuel, right by the Astros game against the Colorado Rockies. They've got a 1-0 lead on Colorado. Runners on first and third with a chance to build on a lead that they just took. So that's down the street. Maybe you want to watch the game with us, or you want to join us on your way out of the ballpark. On top of that, there's a party for the Houston Rockets draft tonight at the George R. Brown Center. The Rockets are picking third overall. Assuming that they keep their pick, they are favored to go and get a guy by the name of Reed Sheppard, a guard from Kentucky who can shoot the lights out. But we'll see. There are a lot of possibilities as far as what they could do tonight in the draft. And on top of that, what they could do to bolster their roster outside of the draft. Last night, Adrian Wojnarowski, Joe, put out a series of tweets that, let's be honest, were
chaotic,
confusing, all over the place. Maybe write an article, bub, to make it all simple for us.
He also has a blue check mark, so he could have put all of it in one tweet.
He could have done that.
That'd be a long tweet, though.
But it would not have gotten the engagement that Woj is used to.
Woj, engagement farming? Are you accusing him of this, Paul?
I mean, he's not writing an article on Twitter. I don't think anyone really wants to put something out there that's too long on Twitter, even though you have that option with the blue check mark. But whatever. No one cares about X. No one cares about Twitter. What you do care about is what the Houston Rockets did. They traded two picks that they got in exchange for James Harden, a 2025 pick swap with the Nets, a 2026 first-round pick. To the Nets! They traded them back their own picks. What the hell is this? Draft Day? Starring Kevin Costner? And they got these picks from the Nets. A 2025 first-round pick swap with the Phoenix Suns. A 2027 Suns first-round pick. And 2029 first-round pick swaps with the Phoenix Suns and Dallas Mavericks. Which, again, straight out of Draft Day, they are theoretically thinking about trading back to the Phoenix Suns in exchange for a couple of different names. Who are those names? Well, this morning, Brian Windhorst of ESPN was on ESPN Radio and said that Kevin Durant might be someone the Rockets pursue.
They could have made this deal with the Nets at any time. They didn't have to do this deal with the Nets now. They could have taken the call from the Nets and said, okay, we know you want your picks back. Go ahead and start your tank, and we'll decide later if we want to do that. They don't have to make this deal now. They're making the deal now so that they have those picks to go into the market with. Now, I guess in theory, they could offer them to another team. That's true. But again, they could do that. They could have traded, if for sheer trade value, the Nets picks just offered to other teams would have more value. Those teams would see the same thing. They'd be like, oh my God, you mean you're going to give us the next draft the next 2 years? Who can we give you? They made this trade specifically to attempt to make a deal with the Suns. And they did it to make a deal with the Suns now. Now, to my knowledge, Kevin Durant has not asked for a trade. However, there are definite connections between Kevin Durant and the Houston Rockets.
So, TLDL, or TLDR, Windhorst, not quite in the way that he did, that everyone is mean, with his fingers pointing everywhere, suggested that the Rockets have some interest in Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I do think, I want to kind of circle back to the beginning of that. I'm not sure I totally buy the theory that the Rockets could have done this trade whenever. Because if I'm just thinking, trying to think for the Brooklyn Nets perspective here for a second. If I'm the Brooklyn Nets and the Rockets have all my draft capital, do I want to trade Mikal Bridges and essentially give them a top four pick? The answer to that would be no. But if I can get the Rockets to agree to this deal where I get my picks back and I control my destiny, then I can also trade Mikal Bridges at the same time. And based on the fact that the Bridges trade and the Rockets trade happened within 20 minutes of each other, that to me, they seem more connected. So I don't totally know if you can make any trade at any time for these picks. I think unless you traded for Bridges itself, if you're the Rockets. For the Suns part's interesting because he says the Rockets traded with the intention of using them with Phoenix. But if Kevin Durant hasn't requested a trade and Devin Booker is not available immediately, then what did you really trade them for besides fading the future of Phoenix? Because I still think it's more that in the big picture. Is maybe they'd like to use it for KD or Booker, but at the end of the day, what they're absolutely banking on is that at a minimum, Phoenix is going to suck.
Yes.
At some point.
And it feels like it's pretty likely that not for this year's draft, because Phoenix made the playoffs, they did get swept, but for next year's draft, that this thing could all fall apart by the trade deadline.
Big time. I mean, KD is, if you don't trade for him, I would feel like it'd be a good wager to say he will not be a Phoenix Sun post-NBA trade deadline the latest.
The Suns are looking at Durant, and I think that they're looking at him and thinking to themselves, let's get something while we still can, while there's still 2 years left on his deal. So, you heard from Brian Windhorst. Stephen A. Smith also was on ESPN today. He is connected in NBA circles and had this to say about the Houston Rockets and Kevin Durant.
Wendy, especially for you. I am reporting here.
Uh-oh.
Pay no attention to what Phoenix is saying. They want out of Kevin Durant right now. That's number one.
Wait, say that one more time.
They want
pay
to trade
no
Durant.
Attention yeah. to what Phoenix is saying. They want out of Kevin Durant right now.
Wow.
That's number one.
Again,
number
why
two.
Do the Rockets do the deal, Molly?
Why That's why I now? Asked you. I was like, wow.
Number two.
Okay, go ahead.
Number two. Also, Houston doesn't want Kevin Durant. Ime Udoka may want him. But organizationally, they know that they are not there yet. So their plans are more long range. Mm. And they would prefer a Devin Booker, who they know it's a slim chance they'll get. But that would be their preference.
That suggests a lack of alignment. And I'm curious as to where that would be coming from. So Ime Udoka, who coached with Kevin Durant with Brooklyn, I can understand why he'd want to bring in Durant. And he wants this team to contend for a title. He just
yeah.
watched the person who replaced him at his old job because he was a little too horny win an NBA title.
Yeah.
So I get that from Udoka's perspective. I am curious as to who's saying no to Durant. Is it Rafael Stone? If it's Rafael Stone, I feel good about that. Is it the actual top of the organization for the Houston Rockets? That would be surprising because I feel
100%
like
surprising.
They would want to have Kevin Durant just because they want people to be interested in this team again, even if it doesn't mean that they're going to be closer to a championship. It feels
yeah.
like they would be the ones pushing for it. So
specifically Patrick, from what I've heard, is like Patrick Fertitta.
Son of Tillman
is he's part of the reason why they got Westbrook. Like it was his infatuation with James Harden why Harden was connected back to this franchise again. That he is the one that is really running the show in some ways and is infatuated with the big names. And if you don't believe me, I just encourage you to go back to the NBA draft last year when they called Amen Thompson. The phone went Ime Udoka, Rafael Stone, Patrick Fertitta. It was not Tillman. Like when the Texans do the draft, Cal McNair talks to the players that was drafted. It was Tillman's son who talked to Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore when they were selected. So that would surprise me if it was at the top. I do find that, listening to that quote, Paul, that Stephen A. is very careful with his words. So then when he says Ime Udoka may want Kevin Durant, that kind of confused me. Because everything else in the quote seems so certain and what he was saying, and then as soon as he brought up Udoka, he kind of backed off a little bit. Like that is where like there's some clear of, this might be an Udoka push, but I'm not totally sure if that's what's happening. But I don't know. It feels like a smokescreen, the KD stuff.
All of this stuff is smokescreen esque. Esh? Yeah, that's the tall Texan margarita talking right now. Mm. Look, if the Rockets do what we want, they will wait, not make a trade for Kevin Durant tonight, and hopefully use the picks that they have that are the Phoenix Suns picks and trade them to the hopefully soon terrible Phoenix Suns to get someone like Devin Booker. Because someone like Devin Booker, long-term, makes a lot more sense for the Rockets.
I mean, I view him as a franchise changer. I mean, he obviously got some help when Chris Paul got there, someone that could distribute and help him get his shot and just make things a little bit easier for him. But Devin Booker is one of those guys that I view as an elite player in the NBA.
Yeah,
and
he's 27.
Yeah.
He can distribute. He's 6'6". He can shoot. Like, he's as close to the complete package as it gets for a guard in basketball. And, you know, like, compare that to, say, Reed Sheppard tonight, who a lot of people like, but is small. And you're thinking to yourself, well, but he's got the same wingspan as Steph Curry. And he's really good at poking the ball away. Like, he's Charles Tillman of basketball. But ultimately, you're looking for somebody who's that who's got that kind of size and who also does not have 17, 16 years worth of experience on the tires in the same way that Kevin Durant does.
Yeah.
I would love to see Durant here. Don't get me wrong, but I realize that Kevin Durant here is a short-term thing. You know, you go back on these apps and you can pick like what you're looking for. Like, looking for fun casual dates. Looking for a life partner. You can put this on your profile.
Yeah.
And Devin Booker's more of a life partner. Kevin Durant's just having fun. It would be fun. It would be more relevant than you've ever been. But do you really want to give up a ton of assets for a guy who is at this point in his career? Because it just makes you maybe a 6 seed or a 5 seed in a loaded Western Conference.
So let's say the phone call is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm Rafael Stone, and I say, Mr. Suns GM, whoever you are. I can't remember right now. We want Kevin Durant. What's the price that you're comfortable with, Paul?
I don't know what is a good offer because, honestly, every offer, Joe, that I see that involves 4 first-round picks, 5 first-round picks, I feel like they're all ridiculous.
But he's 36. He can't be worth that, right? That's kind of my point.
Not.
Like,
you would think not.
Two first-rounders and a player?
You would think not. But at the same time, I imagine Phoenix is looking for at least 3.
Which is crazy. Like, then I'm out.
But, I mean, Gobert got 4.
I know, but he's not 36. KD's 36, still torn Achilles.
4 for Durant makes more sense than 4 for Gobert. And that's the problem, is that some of these trades have been so ridiculous in terms of the assets given up to get a player who literally cannot play in the playoffs.
Yeah, that trade, like, ruined the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
Gobert
Mikal Bridges trade is insane.
Yeah.
5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, who's a good player, who's well-rounded. The guy scores 19 points a game and is 27. Like, we're not talking about a top-of-the-line player. How desperate are the loser-ass Knicks making that trade? I don't get that one at all.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of wonder what the price is, because then what is the guy like – what is the potential of Jalen Green worth? Because, like, if you just get a bunch of first-round picks, you might get a draft
clearly,
where
– clearly not that much, right?
Probably, like, 2 firsts.
I mean –
A first in a draft like this
you
year.
Offered 4 firsts in Jalen Green for Mikal Bridges, and the Nets turned you down for 5 first-round picks.
I did. I was listening to a podcast on the way in, and they brought up that Ian Bangley, I think it is, from New York Sports, reported that Bridges told the Nets he wants to be a Knick, and that's the only team he wanted to go to.
Okay.
So if Rafael Stone did have that information, that might have changed the conversation here a little bit, because you don't trade for a player who doesn't want to be here. That goes to the Kevin Durant conversation too. I know he's under contract for 2 more years, but I mean, look at all the teams he's played for recently. So if he doesn't want to be a Rocket, you can't touch the guy. You can't be talking about, we can't get to February and it's like, well, the Rockets season hasn't gone the way they hoped. Kevin Durant wants to, you know, one last run with Steph Curry in Golden State. Like, that can't happen.
I would think that any trade for Durant would mean that there was a private conversation had and that Durant has at least told them he's bought in. But players are so damn fickle. So to
especially
what you
that
said,
one.
there is a part of Durant that wants to win it on his own. I know this. We all know this. He went to Golden State. He wanted to get that title. He got that title. He got multiple titles. But he was never embraced by that team or by the greater basketball whole because he did it like that. And this is him at this moment in his point. At this point in his career, Kevin Durant is looking for that last opportunity that's going to allow him to win a title and earn the respect that he so badly wants.
Yeah, and that's what – that's. Can he do that in Houston? Is there a better opportunity elsewhere for him? I wonder. It's like if you're not going – because like you're looking for a team on the rise. He knows basketball. He's a smart guy. He knows the team has to have assets. If I was Kevin Durant, honestly, I would go home.
To the Wizards?
Nope, to the Thunder.
Oh.
All the draft picks they have, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
But they'll still put an asterisk if he wins there.
I know, but at least
it will be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's championship and a loaded team around him.
But at least he can go back to Oklahoma City and finish the story. Like, if I was KD and I want to, like, try to fix my legacy, because he does clearly care about that so much, OKC is, I think, where I'd be looking if I were him.
The Rockets are a interesting candidate. Philadelphia would be an interesting candidate. But if he wants everyone to look at him as the guy who won it for a specific franchise, as far as places that he'd actually want to go to, it's hard to find one that's better than Houston for him.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Durant on your team, he's not the kind of difference maker, I think, at age 36. Much like LeBron isn't the difference maker by himself anymore at whatever the hell age he is right now. He is an ageless wonder. And that's why the Rockets should pass. If they make a trade for Durant, do not get me wrong, I will actually be happy about it because the team will become more relevant because of that, and that means that we get to talk about it more, and that means that there's a point to me watching them more.
They're way more interesting.
Because we got to play the hits here. And I'm hoping that something happens tonight that makes the Rockets more relevant than simply drafting Reed Shepard. But I don't think it's the smartest play possible after what the Rockets did last night, making a move for Kevin Durant. I think that patience has served them pretty well to this point. And essentially, shorting the Phoenix Suns after shorting the Brooklyn Nets is, I think, a great long-term play because it gives you the best possible assets to make that next move.
100%. I couldn't agree more.
That's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are live at the Highway Cantina on St. Emmanuel. Starting to rain a little bit outside, but hey, guys, if you want to go watch yourself a, end of the Astros game, we're hanging out here. You can also, go here as a pit stop before the Rockets draft party at the George R. Brown Center. We're here. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
So the Houston Rockets made that trade from last night official just a couple of minutes ago via their Twitter account. Official! The Rockets have completed a trade with Brooklyn. And instead of making it confusing and all over the place like Adrian Wojnarowski did, they said this. The Rockets receive in 2025 the rights to swap either their own first-round pick or Oklahoma City's first-round pick in exchange for Phoenix's first-round pick. It'll likely be Phoenix's first-round pick because both the Rockets and OKC were above 500 or at 500 this year. Phoenix's first-round pick in 2027, the Rockets also received that. In 2029, the Rockets received the rights to the more favorable of either Dallas or Phoenix's first-round pick, in addition to the right to swap their own first-round pick for the less favorable of either Dallas or Phoenix's first-round pick.
That's a lot of information.
So that basically means Dallas and Phoenix's first-round pick, they get them.
Yep.
The Rockets relinquish in 2025 the right to swap either their first-round pick or OKC's first-round pick in exchange for Brooklyn's first-round pick in 2026.
Okay.
So now it's official, but we saw that last night. There's also been some reports about what the Rockets might do. Will they trade for Kevin Durant with those picks that they just got from the Phoenix Suns? Will they hold firm and potentially stay and trade for Devin Booker down the road? Or could a move tonight involve whoever they pick at number three? A lot of people believe that they're going to pick Reed Shepard out of Kentucky at third overall. But from the sound of things, there is a world, per Brian Windhorst, where the Rockets make another selection if this guy falls to them.
They've got Ime Udoka as their head coach. Durant had a relationship with him when he was in Brooklyn, and Udoka was an assistant. Rael Ivey is on Udoka's staff. Rael Ivey is one of the closest players to Durant in the NBA. And I think you will see an interesting tonight. The Rockets have the number three pick in this draft. If they hold that pick, and that pick has been available in trade in recent weeks, if they hold that pick and they draft Donovan Clingan out of UConn, a center, it is an indication that they are willing to do business on Alperen Şengün, their very talented young big man, because Şengün is due a contract extension, and the Rockets played very well last year after Şengün got hurt. They played Jabari Smith at center, their first-round draft pick from 2 years ago. And if they take Clingan, and it's like an indication to the market that they may be willing to move on from Şengün.
Rockets fans aren't happy about that possibility, Joe.
Yeah, and honestly, I think they're going to present her with that opportunity tonight. If you look at, I think today, on day of betting market, oftentimes you do find a tell of what's going to happen. And you'll see the odds shifting throughout the day, but for the most part, they're pretty tight. The extreme example would be a couple years ago, so this is fair, where the betting favorite to be the number one overall pick was Jabari Smith Jr. It was locked. He's the guy. An hour and a half before the draft, it flipped. Paolo Banchero became the guy. But right now, if you look at the betting market, Zachary Richarchet is the odds-on favorite. The sports book I'm looking at right now is minus 480. So you have to bet $480 to win 100 to be the number one pick. Alexander Saar is minus 1,100 to be the number two pick. And then number three, it's Reed Shepard minus 170, Donovan Clingan plus 180. So they're tight. So that's right now where it's like the two French kids are going to go first and second, it looks like, right now, according to the betting market. And then the Rockets could be in a situation where they've got Shepard and Clingan sitting for them there at three, and they can take whatever choose-your-own-adventure they
who
want.
Who would you pick between those two?
Man,
I'm not a draft expert. But I'm holding a gun to your head right now. I know it's violent, but
yeah,
I've been drinking, Joe.
I mean, you've called me fat. You're holding a gun to my
head.
No,
I just implied it.
I implied it.
I implied Jeremy was, too. Like,
heavy,
I implied the whole station is.
Heavy implications.
I'm hot.
Heavy. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I'm taking Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
The reason why is because I'm just going to trust the people that know about the draft.
Okay.
Podcast I was listening to today. Listening to today, talked about how
you don't watch the film, you listen to podcasts?
Yes.
me too.
his shooting, what he can do with Amen Thompson in the open floor, his defensive effort, even though his size, it can work well with the Rockets. If guys like Ryan Russillo, who to me is one of the best draft guys there is in terms of being an analyst and being fair and objective, is saying Reed Shepard is one of the best prospects he's ever seen as a three-point shooter, I'm taking a guy that can get buckets. It's what the Rockets need. There's too many times where the Rockets will put out a lineup where Jalen Green can't score, Alpi's not out there, Jabari Smith's having a bad night. I need a guy that can be in the corner, give me a three, plays, you know, tough defense, even if it's not great, but try hard on defense. I'm a Reed Shepard guy tonight.
Clingan seems like a player from a bygone era.
Yeah, a little Steven Adamsy.
I don't know what I'm thinking about, Joe, when I think about him, but I think about him as a guy that, a lot like, at times, Rudy Gobert was unplayable.
He is a guy that when you play the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals one day,
if you get there,
and Jason Tatum is their center, you're not playing Clingan. You're taking him off the floor. Now you play the 76ers in the NBA Finals one day.
Yeah.
And you're playing Joel Embiid, Clingan's on the floor.
If you believe Donovan Clingan's the guy, I think you're looking at basketball through a very old school circa 2009, 2010, 2011, Dwight Howard and Andrew Bynum are the two best big men in the NBA kind of lens. And I don't think you should look at it that way. I think you want a guy who has got the ability to stretch the court, actually put up a shot, and okay, like this might help you out defensively, but to what you just said, oh, does he sound like Steven Adams? Guess who's on your roster?
Steven Adams.
If he's healthy next year, exactly.
And how hard is it to find a Steven Adams?
It's a little bit redundant. And say you draft him and you're trading Alperen Şengün, well, what are you getting in exchange for Alperen Şengün? Are you getting something as good as Alperen Şengün? Are you getting something with the upside of Alperen Şengün? Maybe he's the person that gets linked into a Kevin Durant trade or a Devin Booker trade or something like that. But
the way that quote plays out where it's like it's talking about KD, mm-hmm. and then it transitions to, well, they might take Klingon to where, oh, Alpi might be available. That to me sounds Brian Windhorst is saying without saying that the conversation around a Kevin Durant trade centers around Alperen Şengün. And that if a trade's going to happen, it's Alpi moving to Phoenix, not Jalen Green. That's what I hear when I hear that quote. Mm-hmm. So, I like Alpi, but like if it's Alpi and two picks for a 36-year-old KD, one pick, I think I'm doing it.
I mean, not to sound xenophobic against Americans, but I'm not going to lie. If I have a Euro in my fold already.
Yeah.
I want the Euro.
Oh, you want to keep the Euro?
Yeah, I want to keep the Euro. I don't know. It seems like it's more than the trend that guys like Giannis, Nikola Jokic,
the best five
Luka Doncic, all these guys who are not from the United States of America, Victor Wembanyama maybe someday, all these guys are considered like great and
Paul, you can argue that by the end of next season, the top five players in the NBA will not be Americans.
Exactly. I mean, listen. You know what? You don't even have to tell me the scouting reports with these two French people ahead. This is my people. I can't call them frogs. these two French people.
Maurice Hachet.
I don't even know what their names are, but you could sell me on them easily on the Rockets taking them. If they find themselves on a spot where they can take a somewhat undersized guy, but who can shoot, who seems to have very good vision in terms of passing, versus a guy who is, very good defensively, part of a UConn team, so I feel like he's going to work his ass off.
Yeah.
But still, seemingly very limited in how much he can actually add to his game, I will take the person who has more.
Yeah, give me Reed Shepard all day, or trade the pick.
HRW713 says, Klingon and Adams, Twin Towers. Remember when the Rockets, back in the day, were trying to do a Twin Towers offense, or Twin Towers team? I think they were trying to put... I could be wrong on this. I think it was Dwight Howard and Omer Asik.
Oh, yeah.
Back like
Omer Asik.
2013, whenever the Rockets, I think it was 2013, because I remember I was doing a show with Brian Straw at the time, and we announced it on a Saturday. And we were like, yeah, the Rockets are back, baby.
Omer Asik.
I remember that offseason. Because they signed Jeremy Lin and Omer Asik on those poison pill contracts.
Yeah.
And I remember I was so annoyed with the Jeremy Lin contract. I hated Linsanity. Like, it's only something in New York like that, like, blows up and it turns into a contract for Jeremy Lin. And I'm not going to lie, like, the first time I saw Patrick Beverley, I said to myself, please, for the love of God, bench Jeremy Lin, who always had, like, the most catastrophic turnovers possible.
Yeah.
Even though he was still a good player. Anyway, Galan and George, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can join us in Houston at ESPN Houston. I'm just going to keep on talking like this the rest of the show. Up next, we have Soft Boys. Is Jim Schlossnagel a softy for already backtracking on his bold claims less than 24 hours after saying he was going to be an Aggie for life? Plus, the Germans are once again trying to keep the English from doing what they do best. What's that? You'll find out next at Soft Boys. Stick around. Nominate your own Soft Boys. 713-780-3776. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Soft Boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of that one time for Ime Udoka, saw LeBron James bitching, called him out for said bitching, only for LeBron to say, Oh, the language. Just like that. And Ime Udoka said, he's a soft-ass boy. That's why we call this segment Soft Boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports?
Apparently the stomachs of people on this radio station.
Ooh. Why are they soft? Oh, you mean the bellies.
The bellies.
The stomachs.
The actual bellies, yes.
Same thing. I thought someone puked or something.
No. We're not there yet.
We never get there at the Highway Cantina. You just eat until your gullet's completely full. Jim Schlossnagel's word is clearly soft. It's clearly malleable. Jim Schlossnagel, after his Aggies lost in the College World Series, was offended by this question by a Texags reporter.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question, but I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
Write that. This is the last job I've ever intended to take.
Love my family.
Shout out to Richard Zane for asking that question.
So, hey, shout out to Richard's girlfriend's dad, listener of the show.
That's true. That's true. So, Jim Schlossnagel, again, I am trying my hardest to not call him Schlongnagel.
See, now since I didn't know that's what you're saying, now every time you say it, that's all I can think about.
Because if you get a little dyslexic, a tall Texan margarita or two, Schloss, Schlong, what's the difference? Make your own implications about my preferences as you will. Anyway, here is Jim Schlossnagel apologizing to Richard Zane of Texags today.
I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from Texags. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself.
My next job.
The future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
I was thinking about my career.
Thinking about my players.
I'm allowed to have a career. I love my players. But not to the point where he actually told them that he was about to take the job, a job he had supposedly agreed to per some in April.
I'm sure he told a few of them. Mm-hmm. And they'll be transferring to Texas.
Yes.
So those ones he really loved. So there, he did say, so some of his players he probably really loved.
This is going to be quite the whammy. I wonder if he told those players ahead of time.
Like, hey, man, I'm
we me, out here.
Me, the hitting coach, the pitching coach, the lead recruiter, we're all going to Austin. You want to live in a town? You want to go to 6th Street? You want to have a good time? You want to party? Come to Austin. Or stay in College Station where you can like probably find Johnny Manziel on a random Saturday.
We have a follow-up for our next story in Ooh. Soft Boys, and it has to do with Germany in the Euro Cup. So the last time we talked about Germany in the Euro Cup, there was a story about how Germans will, I believe, either fine or arrest any English person who sings while drinking the popular pub song 10 German Bombers.
Yes, I remember this.
They're encouraging the English to drink less alcohol while there for Euro Cup.
Soft.
Well, Germans are telling England fans to drink booze-free beer before their game because the temperature will be 25 degrees Celsius with 56% humidity, making it feel more like 29 degrees Celsius. And that doesn't include the heat radiating off of other fans in the stadium. How does Europe get off
77 degrees
having their hooligans seeming so tough, a stab or two, a punch or two, but no drinks or two because it's too hot to have a beer? How did?
That's the only time. That's the best time to drink a beer.
How has this continent not been taken over by Russia, China, etc.?
America.
If this continent is consistently for the Euro Cup, telling people that they can't drink because it's too hot, or you can't sing this song because it's too offensive.
What are these people from? Like, what do they think when they come to America?
When freedom?
When Paris? When it was a Paris story a couple weeks ago. Now it's the Germans talking about it's 75 degrees outside, 77 degrees outside.
England was the last story.
It was England.
Right.
That's
right,
England.
Though
it's too hot.
No! This heat wave.
What are they going to die if they come to Texas?
Yes, I think they would.
Like,
I think they would.
I mean, like, that's the best time for John Granato to drink a Coors Light when it's 100 degrees outside because it tastes like water in that moment.
Imagine Phoenix as well. Someone got, like, a second-degree burn. They passed out due to heat exhaustion, and they burned their calf on the sidewalk because the curb is so hot.
Yikes.
Phoenix, hot. Houston, hot. Tampa Bay, where I went to high school, hot. Miami, hot. All of those, three of those places are humid. I think it is incredibly soft that England can't handle like mid-70s, low-80s weather because there's a little extra humidity to the point where they're telling people to drink non-alcoholic beer. Soft, the Colorado Rocky player who just dropped a very easy pop-up.
Have you tried non-alcoholic beer?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Who knows?
I'm insulted.
I tried it once.
You tried it once?
You know, it's around sometimes.
Why do you want to try it? To me,
I was curious. I was just.
Beer doesn't taste good enough to the point where you drink it and be like, yeah.
It was the Dos Equis Zero.
Oh yeah, like the Heineken Zero too, which they're also advertising.
Yeah. Oh man, it was the Heineken that I tried. Mm-hmm. Tried it, didn't like it. Not good. Because you're right, what's the purpose of a beer if it's not going to get me a little tipsy?
Good call. Good call. One last one in soft boys, and this also has to do with Euro Cup. An Italian coach was very upset, accusing someone on his team of being a mole and leaking info to the press. He had a loud, impassioned rant. This is what the story reads. An incredible, impassioned rant from Spalletti. A man known for wearing his heart on his sleeve and unable to hold his tongue when he feels he has been betrayed, and accusations of a mole in the squad. Spalletti said, "There is obviously someone in the team who is passing on the information, and that person is damaging the team. You've been told that. You haven't interpreted that. Don't claim this is your poetic license."
Huh.
So he's very upset about a mole in his locker room. I don't know what this mole even said, but... wow, an Italian soccer coach delivering an impassioned rant about rats?
About rats? Snitches?
It actually sounds kind of American.
I mean, Dusty Baker didn't do that last year. He was pretty calm when there was a snitch in the clubhouse.
Was there a snitch in the clubhouse?
I mean, I think the Chaz McCormick story makes that clear.
Oh.
Someone from Chaz's family was talking about his playing time and unhappiness. It might have been Chaz.
That's where it all came from.
It might have been Chaz's brother. You never know. Who's very active on social media.
Wow, that's very pointed.
I mean, Chaz's brother, like, very, like, vocally says things he does not like about the Astros.
Vocally says things.
Yeah. Or tweets them.
Okay, yeah.
X's them.
Yeah, he's very vocal online.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know what I meant.
I know, I'm just being a bastard.
You are.
I've been a meanie today.
It's okay.
All right, guys.
I just hope you airmail your first pitch tomorrow now.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. If I do it on purpose and tell everybody I didn't do it on purpose, I mean, that's good content.
I still don't know what I really want. I don't know if I want you to airmail it or... Or Jeremy, in defense. I don't know if you want to airmail it or like bounce it by like 10 feet. Like, I don't know what's funnier, the bounce or the airmail.
It's a good question. I mean,
I think it's the bounce.
If somebody hands me an envelope filled with you know what, will I mail in that first pitch?
It ain't coming from me.
Well, okay, fine. Anyway, it is Gallant and George. We're at the Highway Cantina. We got one last segment to go. A little garbage time. Final thoughts on what the Rockets might do tonight. Some thoughts from you guys at 713-780-3776 to call, to text, twitch.tv/ESPN975 at ESPN Houston at the Highway Cantina. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 at 92.5.
to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. Astros have a 2-0 lead on the Colorado Rockies in the bottom of the seventh inning with no outs and two runners on, looking to build on that and get their seventh straight win. They will not gain any ground on the Seattle Mariners, who finally got back in the win column with a win over the Tampa Bay Rays today. But the Astros, with a chance to get to 500 at the very least today, a win would make them 40-40. Hopefully, Joe, the bullpen doesn't do what the bullpen's been doing way too much this season, making us feel the need to watch the entirety of the ninth inning when they have a lead, even though they are paid to a degree where against the Colorado Rockies, we should be able to press fast forward and not have a worry in the world about it.
Yeah, Joey Loprofito coming through some clutch runs here would be very nice for the Houston Astros.
Loprofito, join the rope.
As he gets hit.
Hit my boy!
Spencer Arrighetti. 10 strikeouts today, most by an Astros pitcher this season.
Surprising.
This is a good rebound start for Arrighetti.
It is a good rebound start, and honestly, the Rockies are such doo-doo.
Sometimes you need a bad team to get back on track.
Is that what you call a slump buster?
The White Sox, slump busters. The Rockies for Arrighetti, maybe a slump buster.
But the Orioles were such a high-level takedown that I feel like you did the slump busting against the White Sox. Now you're just flirting.
Just flirting.
Just flirting.
Just move.
All right, guys. Let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is an incredible story. And again, we're all doomed. Artificial intelligence is going to take all of our jobs. NBC has announced that an artificial recreation of Al Michaels' voice will be part of Peacock's Olympics coverage.
Okay.
There's going to be a Your Daily Olympic recap on Peacock, a customized playlist for fans featuring highlights of the events most relevant to them from the previous day. It'll feature clips from NBCU's Olympics coverage and be narrated by a high-quality artificial intelligence recreation of Michael's voice, trained using his past appearances on NBC to match his signature expertise and elocution.
Okay.
We are effed.
Yeah, we're ruined. At some point, they're going to be like,
you can do artificial intelligence for play-by-play. You can do artificial intelligence for a sports talk show. I'm going to be homeless living under that bridge in no time. I'll be close to the Highway Cantina.
I think those two would be the best place to live on the street. I do think those are like the two parts of like the sports media job where we're okay.
Sports, I don't think radio.
Who's gonna? How are you gonna tell? Hey, AI, tell the audience to trade Framber Valdez after one bad start. That's not gonna work.
Framber
Valdez.
That's for me to do.
Framber
Valdez should be liquidated. His body should be turned into batteries for us. Liquefy him. Literally, 1010111. I mean that's gonna happen.
Probably.
I mean, it'll be brutal commentary.
Yeah, it won't be enjoyable.
The humanity will be gone from sports talk, but it honestly might get the blunt kind of honesty that at times we are perhaps not willing to go to.
I mean, it'll be offended by robots instead of us.
Yeah. But at least if you're offended by robots, you can shake your fist and, I mean, killing a robot, that's not killing a person. Come on.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be pretty high up on the list when artificial intelligence takes over based off of the amount of times I swear at my Alexa and say horrible things to her.
Oh, you're a target.
Oh, yeah. I drop hard C-bombs on my Alexa all the time.
Why? What does Alexa do to you?
Do your job. Do your job, robot. You're beneath me. You're not a real human.
That's not what you're supposed to say.
My downstairs neighbors every now and then are like, oh, we heard you yelling at your Alexa again.
I thought it was do your job, and then the B word is what people said on the station.
I'm calling robots a C. Whatever. The English do it like it's another word. Why do we not get to use that word, huh? Why, Joe? Why?
I don't know. We're soft. Soft boys, Americans. Can't use the C word.
Speaking of soft, I heard this yesterday on Dell's show. People are doing this thing called raw dogging on flights. And someone did this. No, not that.
You
not
pervert?
That, Joel. They're doing the kind of raw dogging, which means you go on a plane, you got no headphones, you got no visual aids to occupy your mind, no book, no sleep, and some of these crazy possible serial killers are going on planes and just staring dead ahead at the seat in front of them for 21 hours, doing nothing the whole flight. That, my friends, is insane.
Yeah, I can't imagine going onto a flight and not having anything. No podcast, no music, no book, no movies.
Yes.
Just sitting there by yourself?
Flying
just
raw.
Staring?
Bareback.
Now, my only clarification is, do we think this person is traveling with someone else?
He's a TikToker. No, he just does weird things.
So it's not like
TikTok.
You and I flying together and I'm talking to you the whole time. And I'm going to just engage in conversation.
He's not talking to anybody.
He's just staring.
He had a video of him, I think, the entire time, just staring dead ahead. I mean, you got to have some electric meditation skills if you're able to do that.
Great the imagination.
Astros now have a 4-0 lead in the bottom of the seventh inning with two runners on and one out. So hopefully this is enough for the bullpen.
There's Braggy. Double play,
a
Braggy.
Rafael Montero appearance. Man, the Rockies suck.
They're so
bad.
They
suck. They just threw it away. It's 5-0 now. So you feel very good about that. Houston Rockets got a big-time draft tonight. Pick number 3. We'll see who they end up picking and if they make any trades. Stay tuned to the Killer Bees over the course of the next 3 hours. We'll keep you posted on anything new that happens on both of those fronts. Big thanks to Sean Mapes at Mission Control, to BMAC out here at the Highway Cantina, my favorite place in Houston, the Highway Cantina, and Joe George. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!